What's going on, everybody? My beautiful people out there, happy new year. It's 2020. We about to live it up. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your boy, Danny Royce, inside the Black Actor Studio. I have an amazing guest with me. It's kicking off the new year. You've seen him on Grimm, All My Children, Z Nation, The Have and Have Nots. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this.
Tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
What's good, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome inside the Black Actors Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce. Joining me today, as I said before, is an incredible actor. He's a great artist. He has really stolen the TV screen, especially on our all-beloved Tyler Perry shows. You've seen him on The Have and Have Nots. He's also, you know him very well, as Donald Winthrop on The Oval. And I can't wait to get into it. One of my favorite shows, Grimm. Amazing. And coming up soon, Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We got him in the house. The Black Actor Studio is very proud to welcome Lodrick D. Collins.
Hey.
What's good, man?
I'm great, man. That was a great introduction.
Hey, you know, I do what I can. Hey, welcome. I'm blessed to have you in here. Thank you for joining me.
It's great to be here.
Okay, how's your day going? How's the New Year treating you?
Man, it's great. New Year's is my favorite holiday. I tell everybody that. It's like whatever went wrong in 2019, it's that proverbial day you make it right. If it went good, then you make it better. And it's just that day. Yeah, you could do it any day, but like New Year's is that day that says to do it.
It is.
So I feel good about it.
I love New Year's too.
Yeah, man.
It's just a rebirth, you know?
It's a rebirth. That's a good word. It's a rebirth.
It's a rebirth. Yeah. This year we have 366 days. Did you know that?
Oh, that's right. We got a leap year coming up.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm like, what? So first off, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you,
to
man.
Respect.
I appreciate it.
And being able to portray Smokey Robinson. Yeah. First off, tell me how you felt when you got that role.
It's a trip, man, because there's this character that I go into when these things are coming up that lowers anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's like, okay, no, these things are supposed to come. You're supposed to receive these things. You work with people like Forrest Whitaker every day, which is not true. So, like, I go into this place that's just, like, ready to receive things. And I think when it happened, I was like, oh, cool, okay, I'll see y'all soon, you know? And they were like, did you just hear what we said? I was like, yeah, I heard you, thanks, you know? And then after everything's said and done, you come home, and it's like one day, I think like a week after we started, I came home, and I was like, oh, snap, yeah, you know, it kicks in.
No, I feel it.
Yeah, I guess that moment when it kicked in, it's I'm grateful, man. It's a blessing, you know? I grew up listening to this guy. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching this guy. I grew up wanting to be like this guy. I remember, not to get too far into it, but I remember sitting down as a kid with my mom, my dad, my uncle, something like that, and we're watching, I think it was like Diana Ross or somebody, and Smokey Robinson surprises her at this concert. And the whole time, she's like turning her head away, and he's just staring at her, you know? I'm like, what's this dude doing? This is weird, you know? And I realized that that this guy is just this enchanting guy. Like, what's happening is she's trying not to look into his eyes, and he's like, look.
Yeah.
And the minute she turns around and looks, he's got her, and she just can't stop staring. And then she, like, before the song is over, they do a duet together, and before the song is over, she kisses him on the mouth like 5 times. You know what I mean? I was like, this is the cat I want to be like
here. That's Smokey,
you know?
Right there.
Yeah. So, so that's it's an honor. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. We like to start in the studio at the beginning. Where were you born?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Hey,
I'm a country boy.
Country boy. And how was it growing up in Louisiana?
It was dope.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I think some of the most amazing people I have met in my life, some of the most beautiful people, both inside and outside, come from Louisiana.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just one of those places where people just want to freely give.
Yeah.
They want to smile. They want you to smile. They like to eat. They want you to eat.
Yeah.
<You
know? laughs>
It's just one of those places. It's like paradise for me. It's a place that I go home to reset. I've got a large family there that's always like, That's always had my back, always have my back. It's, yeah, it's a great place.
And you have family in Chicago as well, right?
I have family in Chicago, yeah, man.
And it's
shout
funny.
Shout out to the family there.
Right, it's funny. It's an ongoing thing. It's like either I have guests from Chicago or they have a tie to Chicago somehow. Yeah. And I don't plan these things. It just happens, you know? But how was your family dynamics growing up?
Family dynamics was great. I loved it when the family from Chicago came. They loved coming down.
right, of course.
They would come down, and we'd wake up in the morning, like, what are we doing? I'm like, what do you mean, what are we doing? They're like, let's go fishing, let's go crabbing. And, you know, my dad's one of those people where he's like, oh, your family from Chicago's coming down, so be prepared to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning one day, and we'll plan a crabbing trip, and, you know, and they loved it. Like, at some point, we got tired of it, but the family from Chicago.
You don't do that often up there, yeah, in
Chicago. Man, yeah. Nah, growing up, it was cool. You know, I got, I'm the middle child of four brothers. My mom had five boys.
Wow. Bless her. Bless your heart.
Yeah, yeah. So it was sports, wrestling, karate, and all this, none of which we took classes in. It was all bootleg kind of, like, you know, we saw on TV, so we thought we were.
Right, of course.
You know, yeah, it was all of that. Emergency room, stitches, concussions, you know, five boys.
There's, So being the middle child, what's one of the, because that you're smack dab in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So like, what's one of the best things and the worst things about being a middle child?
I could tell you all the worst though.
One of each. That's it.
I am like poster boy for middle child syndrome. What's mine is mine.
Right.
And unless I share it with you, you can't touch it, you know? But what's yours is also mine, you know? Yeah, right. No. I think one of the best things is you kind of get the best of both worlds, you know? You get, and I'm smack dab in the middle, too old or too young. You get to be, at some point, you get to be the older brother and you get to be the younger. So you get to be the one protected and you get to be the one that gets protected, you know?
Yeah.
Nice. And we're all really close. So it was like, one of those things where you don't mess with the Collins boys because it's a crew.
Right.
It's a crew of house.
We roll deep too.
Yeah, we roll deep. Yeah, we roll deep and we ride for each other. So yeah, no, it's cool. It was, I say it's even better now as adults. You know what I mean? Because we really monitor and check on each other and look out for each other and make sure that the other one's always good. Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome. Yeah. And growing up, did you see any TV shows that you loved or any people on TV entertaining that really inspired you to get into this?
Yeah. You know, it was hard to filter through this. Bill Cosby, I will say. You know, I don't know the Bill Cosby now that I knew then. The one that I knew then was Huxtable. You know, and then there were networks, not to plug it too much, but there were networks like BET, and you turn on Video Soul and you see faces like Donnie Simpson, and it was rare, you know. I mean, I think growing up, like, media was saturated with faces that were white, you know?
Of course.
So you really had to
click,
turn on channel U or something, you know, but you had to search.
Right.
But like, I'd see faces like Donnie Simpson, you know, Eddie Murphy, Bill Cosby, Red Fox, like these people, you
Red
know?
Fox. Bill Cosby, did that crush your heart, like, when all that was going on?
I mean,
growing up and watching it, me too.
You know, I don't know all the truths behind
it.
I know, like, what's been put out into the media and everything, but it did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It made me evaluate, you know, the legacy that we leave on Earth. Is it based on the... all the great things you do, or is it based on the bad things you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we evaluate that?
Right.
And it's a shame that I think one of the most hurtful things is I don't think media's changed much in terms of what we see aesthetically. It's changed a lot, but it hasn't changed as much as you would like it to, you know? And I think, like, shows like The Cosby Show, like A Different World and all that, I think they're, like, pivotal even, especially now, than they were before. And it's a shame that we lose it, you know, something like that gets lost because it's hard to duplicate.
Yeah, it's really hard to duplicate.
That's a formula that, you know, I don't know if it's going to come around again. Hopefully it will. But it's a shame that we lose that in this process, you know.
I agree with that for sure. And so when the acting bug bit you, as we like to call it, when was that for you?
I remember, man. I was with my grandmother. And there was a theater company in the hood. I never knew. I passed this place on my bike all the time. It was called Axe Theater. It was on along the railroad tracks. Now, you know, anything along the railroad tracks is hood.
It's right.
Like, yeah. It was literally when you walked the door, the railroad tracks were like 10 feet away.
Right.
It was Axe Theater, and it was this huge theater space. And we went to see something like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn or something,
okay.
You know? And I remember she describes it as the one moment in my life where I sat still and didn't say a word.
No.
You know? And I just remember looking like, wow, this is like a whole fantasy and event of people that are not themselves but are like tricking my imagination. You know?
Right.
And I remember leaving on the way out and I told my grandmother, like, I want to do this. I want to do what they do. And she's like, you do, baby? Well, let's get some pamphlets. And, you know, she got every pamphlet she could and we brought it home. You know?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. So what was one of your, like, first things you got into? Did you start in high school, college? Or did you start in plays?
I started immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I went back. I would go back to that theater on my bike all the time. And then one day I saw a sign, just waiting for that sign, waiting for some type of sign to where I could be a part of it. I'd ride my bike, and I saw a sign that said that they were doing The Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
And I was like, ah, cool.
Of course.
Here we go.
And, hey.
Yeah, I know. And my first gig was The Scarecrow in the kids' play of The Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Nice. Mine was a Tin Man.
Tin Man?
Yeah.
Cheers. Man.
He's on down the road, right?
That's right.
So when did you make that transition to L.A.?
To L.A.?
Yeah. That's a huge jump.
Well, I moved to New York first.
You moved to New York? Okay.
Yeah, so I spent most of my acting career in New York.
Yes.
I moved to New York after college. And I started there. Yeah, I started doing more theater. Mainly theater there. I was lucky enough to get a lot of commercial stuff, and then I booked a gig on my first TV gig was All My Children. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I booked a gig on All My Children. Yeah. It was cool.
Nice.
Cool, yeah.
You booked that in New York?
I booked it in New York.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
It was all shooting in New York.
It was all shooting in New York.
Yeah.
That was your... I guess your first big role.
It was my first role. Yeah. It was my first thing. It was cool.
How was that audition process for you?
The audition process was cool. I was really green. There was a casting director. He's here now. His name's Bob Lambert. I remember he was really patient with me because I came in. My headshot was this kind of way.
Just green.
On the back, and he's like, nah, this is what we're going to do. You're going to come back, and we're going to staple. We're going to do this because I want to turn around. I want to flip this over. And I was like, ah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's those people out there
right.
that just, for some strange reason, they say they see something.
They see something.
Let me fix it. And yeah, I remember in that moment, he's like, let's fix this. And I got this thing. You want to audition for it? Yes, cool. You got it. It was a really small role. But before I started acting, I was in the Marine Corps. And he saw it on my resume. He says, listen, this role is for this guy. He's a rescue guy, but he rappels off of a mountain.
Right.
By the way, we built a mountain on set, and you'll be rappelling. Are you good with
that?
I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
That's dope. That's dope. Yes. Yeah. Well, and thank you for your service, which leads me to my next topic I want to talk about, which is one of my favorite episodes, or my favorite shows, Grimm, where you played a lieutenant.
Uh-huh.
All right. So how was that, being
Lieutenant
on
Marshall.
Set? Because that was, oh, man. Yeah, I just remember that show, and it was one of the very few, like, fantasy shows that was, like, really killing it.
Yeah.
And then you had Once Upon a Time come out, but...
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, man. I thought I was the only person that watched that show. I didn't have...
I wish
I could have shared this with you before.
Right.
I didn't have... That was no one... None of my buddies watched that show. Like, I didn't know anybody that watched
right.
it. But, like, a lot of people watched it.
It seemed like it took people longer to get into as well.
That was... I'll be honest. That was a pivotal role because I got to interact with the leads of the show off screen a lot, you know? And I think that was the point where I said, you know what? I can lead a series. You know what I mean? I see what he's doing. I'm one of those people, I'll sit in the corner and just watch.
Just watch,
and observe the environment, observe the people, and see how things work out. And I said to myself for the first time, you know what? I'm confident that I can do what this person does successfully. It was great. The cast was great. We shot it in Portland. Portland is an interesting city. Really
did
cool.
It rained a lot while you were
it
filming?
Rained a lot, but nobody wears umbrellas. Nobody uses umbrellas when it rains.
It's so just walk,
I was
right?
like an alien to people with an umbrella, you know? But no, it was a great show. I loved it. I was a huge fan of the show. Mm-hmm. Like a huge fan. I'd watched every episode of it. So the idea that that came up was like really cool. You know? I couldn't share with people my excitement because no one understood.
No, yeah, I understood.
My people didn't understand.
I definitely understood. All the creatures, everything. Yeah. The
it was a lot of work too.
Yeah.
It was a lot of physical work.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
A lot of makeup, a lot of physical stuff.
It's a lot of stunt work and stuff. So you do all your stunts and things like that.
Not all of them, but
not
most
all
of them.
Most of them.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah.
Most of what
and
they let you.
Yeah, I told them that I wanted to, and they were like, cool, we'll see how much you can do.
Right.
You can't, whatever becomes an insurance policy, we're just going to
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, we got people for that.
Yeah.
All right, dope. And did you, after Grimm, like, what was something that you would say was one of your challenges in the industry that you came across?
I think after that, there was a realization of what I knew I could do after that.
Mm-hmm.
And the access of our positioning myself to be in a place to receive what I knew I could do. I think this career, you know, it can be like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then now it may always be that way where like there's this strong desire just to keep the roller coaster going up and not dip, you know?
Right.
And I think for me, it was just about trying to keep that momentum going. You know, and I soon realized that not to get too spiritual, but there's something greater guiding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think when you give yourself over to it, sometimes and sit back, watch, continue to do the work, you can see it like taking place.
Right.
So after it was stressful because it was like, how do I keep it going? But once I realized, you know what, there's something greater that's guiding. Well, I just sit back. Keep doing the work and watch. Things just started happening in a cool way.
Yeah,
you know,
for
other
sure.
Things just started coming. Yeah.
Right. Just be still.
Be still, believe.
And believe me, you can say all the spiritual stuff you want in here. This studio.
We go to church
this
today.
Studio, we always go to church. Every episode.
I appreciate that.
So talk to me about the have and have nots.
Yeah, the have and have nots.
How is it? What's one of your favorite memories working with Tyler Perry on set?
The have and have nots was quick because I remember I'd gone home, I'd auditioned for it, and I went home on a Friday morning and my agent calls like, hey, you got a call back. I was like, I'm literally getting on the plane right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, they want to see you today. I was like, I'm literally getting on the, I'm seated on the plane
that's
right now.
That's crazy.
Like,
So you had to get out.
No. Because for some strange reason, like I couldn't because I had to be at a wedding, something back home that I had to be there.
Right.
Know? And then I get the call on Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, and they're like, you know what? They want you for the role. So I was like, yo, I didn't do
that. Right.
All right, cool. You know, this is cool.
Look at God.
Yeah.
All right, nice.
But everything happens so fast.
Right.
You go in, you shoot, and you see boss man Tyler, he's doing all this work, and you want to say so bad, like, hey, man, like, I admire your work. Thank you. But there's no time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you could tell he's in this
zone.
Zone because he's got all these.
And it's like one or two takes. That's in, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, no, for me, it was two because the lady that I played opposite of, I'd seen her on the thing and I was like, oh, okay. Like she's a pretty lady. But in person, she's like strikingly beautiful.
Mm.
So my guy opens the door. I don't meet her. She opens the door while the camera's rolling. And I just stare like, this woman's fine. She is beautiful. And I lost my line, dude. And I said line. And I could hear people say, did he just say line? And I was like, oh, snap. This is embarrassing. Like, I just said line before I even started my line. This lady closed the door, lady. Like, you're too, yeah.
That's hilarious.
So we did it again, and we did it in one take. And
right.
It was like four or five pages in one take. And
Strikingly good looks, I guess.
She's a beautiful lady, yeah.
Yeah. That's a really funny story. I like that.
I know, right?
I just dropped my line. All of it.
The first line.
Before the first line. It wasn't like you start in like line. Yeah. You were like, line.
My brain went blank, man. For real.
Too crazy.
Yeah.
And so the Oval, you play Donald Winthrop, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned before that John Kelly was a big influence for you on this role.
You got that, yeah.
I do my research.
I got three people. One's John Kelly, one's Barack, and the other, I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Cersei Lannister.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Cersei.
So you put all three of them together, you get Donald.
So what was it like for you taking on this role, especially in this new series, you know?
Yeah. It was something I really had to think about, how to create this type of character, because there was a very small amount of time from when I accepted it until we actually started shooting it. So the idea of how do you make a realistic, grounded person who's an anchor for all the craziness of this show, yet still has all these things boiling underneath. And I remember one day I was just like, okay, I said I could do, I had a breakdown. I was like, this is okay. This is like all the stuff that I've been asking for, God, universe. Like, how do you make sure you deliver? How do you make sure you give these people what they want while at the same time giving yourself, fulfilling yourself?
Right.
And I called my brother and my sister-in-law, who gives great advice, and they were just like, dude, like, you've been doing this for a while. Like, just trust that, you know, you'll be fine. Just trust this and whatever. And that was it. You know? That's when I just started making my gumbo. I was like, okay, we'll put a little John Kelly. We'll put some Cersei. And that was it, man.
Yeah, sometimes you just need those people to just kind of push you a little bit, you know?
It's like that. What was it like? Is it going back to the Wizard of Oz? Like, isn't the storyline about just it's always been there or something like that?
Yeah.
Just trusting that this stuff is there and it's always been there, and then it's this aha moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how it was.
That's dope. Yeah. And I just want to take this moment to thank you again for joining us in the studio. Man. And also thank you everyone who's watching right now. And if you would like to see the entire season one, you can check it out on The On Channel. That's www.theonchannel.com. And you can stream the whole season one, all 21 episodes. Amazing time. And thank you so much. I want to shout out Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro for giving us this opportunity to bring you these amazing stories week in and week out. It's great. We in here. 2020. Logic D. Collins. Let's go. Hey. So, respect.
Yeah.
Right? Man, it's coming out soon, eh?
Yeah, man. Yeah. We go back next week to shoot some more.
Yeah. So, how much longer do you have to shoot?
Next week is going to be my last week.
Your last week. Okay.
Yeah.
And what are some of the things that you did to step into? Because, you know, you're talking about putting people together and making your gumbo, right? Mm-hmm. But now you're actually stepping into the shoes of someone. So what did you do to prepare for that?
I looked at every documentary I could. There's so much stuff.
So
much. Motown, with Smokey, with the relationship between Smokey and Aretha. It's like a slew of stuff. You get down to the brass tacks of it. Who is this guy and what is his relationship to this woman? And then you just start researching like those little small details and how you can bring him alive, you know? I think the biggest challenge wasn't necessarily finding him, because he's a pretty transparent person, even with the core of what's underneath. Like it wasn't a hard thing for me to see. I think the hardest thing is finding the voice, because I'm like down
here.
Right? Smokey's up here, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was like, how do we find this place? Yeah.
Right.
But no, it's been great. It's been a great experience. Like, I first scene is with Jennifer and Forrest and Marlon.
Marlon, all these amazing, like, talents.
Beyond.
Amazing.
Beyond, man. And supportive and also kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you expect to go on set with these big names, and you expect them to have, you know, this grandeur.
Right.
but like the kindest people I have ever worked with in my life. I swear, like the kindest, you know. And it tells you a lot about professionalism.
It does,
you know. And when it taught me a lot, you know, when you're in this place, there's a service that must be given, not just in terms of work, but to people around you know?
Right.
And they're great examples of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Give us a little like reenactment of his voice. I mean, say anything. It doesn't have to be from the film, but just say something. I want to hear Smokey real quick.
Let's see. I haven't been working on it for a while, but Smokey's way up here, and he's always like, I up here, you know? Yeah. And
love
my thing
it.
Is, I always like, the challenge was, I'd be up here and then come down.
Yeah.
How do you keep it, you know?
Yeah.
So he's always up here, yeah.
Did you have
and he's always, he always wants people to be happy around him. You can
right.
tell, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Do you... I mean, just from my one time meeting him, it was just like it was dope. It was it was a lot of wisdom, a lot of like just treasure.
I can imagine.
Like, you can just it's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you have to sing in the film at all?
Thank God. Thank God I did not. Like there's people like Titus Burgess, Jennifer Hudson, Forrest, like who are like dynamic voices.
Right.
You don't want to hear Logic D. Collins' voice next to that. Yeah. Auto-tune like a mother.
Let's dub that. Oh,
yeah. No, I did it.
Yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And so that's that. You said that you wrapped that up in a week, right?
I'm going to wrap in a week. The film's going to be shooting.
Yeah, the film's going to be shooting.
Scene.
Which I saw the preview, and it's just like a little... You know, just a little something.
It's a little taste.
A little something. Because
they're still shooting it,
Right, because they're still shooting
it's
it.
It's a taste.
So it's like, but it's enough to get you excited.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of seeing Aretha live before she passed.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, thanks, Mom. Shout out. She took me. it was...
I got to talk to my mom. Like,
it was amazing. It was amazing. So I'm actually really excited for the film.
I think they picked the perfect person, man.
Yeah.
Because anytime I would hear that lady sing, that lady meaning Miss Franklin, anytime I would hear her sing, her voice gives me chills, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching the trailer a few weeks ago with Jennifer. And when it came out, I remember going on Instagram, reposting it, and just typing the word chills, you know?
Right.
Because, I think she's dynamic. Jennifer. Her voice is ridiculously crazy, and I think she's got so much soul to match that of the Queen of Soul.
Right.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about, because we have a lot of, you know, actors and people in the industry that watch this show as well. I want to talk about the audition process of, stepping into... A figure like Smokey Robinson. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of work afterwards, but what was your work before the audition that you took in the room?
Trust. You know, I think it's, I've learned that trust is the most important thing. Trust and fulfillment within, this is gonna sound like such a Hallmark card. I say it because I've been through a voyage with it. I remember before I left New York, I experienced a lot of anxiety, like crazy anxiety that would just tear me apart in the audition process.
Mm-hmm.
And I took some time to sit back and be like, why am I feeling this? What is going on? And I realized I'm trying to impress people on the other side of the table, on the other side of the camera. And that, I'm not good with trying to impress people, even outside of the audition process. I say the wrong thing, I do the wrong thing, but when I sit at ease with myself and I'm feeling something about myself that's cool and there's a lot of self-assurance, I'm good. Yeah. So with that, it was one of the things of, okay, here's the script. What do I know about this person? How do I apply it? How do I translate this that is fulfilling for myself? Hopefully they get it, you know, but how do I do it in the most truthful way possible that's fulfilling?
Right.
And that was the biggest part of the process, you know? What do I see? What do I see in myself that I can put into this guy that's comparative, you know, that compares to this guy? And how can I translate as best I can for myself, you know? And that was the biggest thing. The biggest thing. Because, you know, now auditions are like, hey, here it is. Tomorrow you got this.
Right.
Oh, we need this tonight on tape. And you know,
it's like, get it and get it done.
Yeah. So all you have to do, I think trust is the biggest thing now, man, especially with such like fast turnarounds.
It is.
Yeah.
What's one of your like, you know, you have a kind of like something you prefer, you know, TV, film, theater. But I'm not going to go there. I just want to know like what is something you find fascinating in each one, TV, film, and theater, something that draws you to that?
I just got back from watching, I hadn't done theater in a while. Even though there's some good theater here in LA, I really miss that that Broadway or that black box that I would always go to in New York.
You know?
And the rawness of it. And recently I went downtown to check out August Wilson's Jitney.
Hey. I love August Wilson.
Man, I miss love it in August the Wilson. Theater and that escape. And that's how it all started for me, as I think about it. You know, I was sitting there and I'm like, you know what? I had never realized how much I miss just sitting here in this escape with everything quiet, with just watching these people, no cell phones, no popcorn crunching, no nothing. It's just me and these people. It feels like just me and these people. Yeah, there's a whole audience, but I think when I sit inside the place and watch, it's just something that everything disappears, and it's like me and these people on stage, you know? And I realize I miss being that person on stage as well. I just miss the liveness of it.
Right.
I miss the idea of you can make a billion mistakes, but we'll never catch it.
Never catch it.
You know, there's one take.
Yep.
And you only have truth. There's a continuity of truth. You know, this show's continuously going. There's no stop. Let's shoot scene two. It's just that, and you get to live in this truth for like two and a half, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Some of these shows, 4 hours, five now, bro.
Intermission and all that. Yeah.
I enjoy seeing that. I enjoy being a part of that. Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah. Okay. For sure. I see that. And so as far as, Tyler Perry opening the studios and all that, were you able to go?
Yeah.
How was that experience for you?
One of the most phenomenal moments of my life, man. I got to take my mom.
Nice. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, as a son, you always want to do something special for that lady, that brought you life, that brought you here, you know? I got a chance to do that. That was really cool. It was the most phenomenal experience, man. I said, you could blindfold me and put me in the middle of that place with all those people and all that energy, and I would be like, what is this around me? Like, you could feel it, you know? And I think it also just speaks to who Tyler is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this isn't brown nosing or anything, but I'm serious. It really speaks to who he is and his desire to make sure that this community in which he constantly represents is taken care of.
Right.
I mean, the sound stages, everything. You could tell he it's Tyler Perry Studios, but he doesn't even just make it about the people that exist in Tyler Perry Studios, but the people that exist in this acting world, in this entertainment world.
Right.
And you look at it and you're like, oh man, you know, you leave something like that and it's kind of like, you remember watching the Oprah Winfrey's the Legends Ball? Was that the name? Oprah Winfrey's Legends Ball.
Yeah, that was crazy.
No, this like
insane.
I saw that on TV.
Yeah.
I got to witness this in person.
Yes.
And it was like, I'm still feeling like that. Like, what? You leave something like this and you have to be better. You have to do better. And there's an obligation to give something more than what you're giving to the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
To other people, to yourself, whatever, you know, and I'm still trying to figure all that out, but it was amazing.
That's awesome.
Happy to be there.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so moving forward, before we wrap up this segment of the interview, as far as the representation and inclusion, in Hollywood, you know, we've come a long way, obviously. Still a long way to go, especially behind the camera. But what are some of the things that you've noticed and are very proud of in the progression?
I'm really proud of what's happening right now. I mean, as an African-American man, as a person who saw a linear thing growing up as a kid in terms of media, the idea that you get to see representation in all fronts now, you know what I mean? And without judgment, without anything, that you get to see representation in all fronts. Not saying that it's that there's equality in it, but the fact that everybody gets to be represented now, I think is important, you know? And I think it's growing. And the cool thing about it is I think there's a lot of acceptance in the growth of it all, you know? And I think it's important, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's important. I think if I just sit back and say, Equality is me seeing more black men on TV. That's not equality, you know, because then all I get to see is black. I'm just going just the way it was before, just from a different perspective.
Right.
But if I get to say, I want to see all the things that constitute America or this world on the screen, you know, I think that's equality.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's I think that's equality. And I'm glad I get a chance to see it because I get to learn.
Right.
I get to watch and learn about people, about their lifestyles.
And that's how you defeat ignorance.
That's how you defeat ignorance, man.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, thank you. That was awesome. I'm going to go into another segment of the interview, okay?
Look, I'm scared now.
You should be. No, no, this is where I'm going to ask you questions on a certain subject. Sometimes I do films, sometimes I do actors. Today, I'm going to do Mr. Perry.
All right.
So I'm going to ask you 5 questions.
Okay.
Okay? And obviously, your objective is get them all right, but we'll see how you do, okay? All right.
Keep my job.
So, what does Tyler Perry play in his movies? Madea movies. Madea, Joe, or both?
Both.
Correct. Yeah. Hey, got it. All right. Next, does Tyler Perry have a book out?
Yes.
That is correct. Good job. Uh-huh. All right. Next one.
I feel like I'm on Jeopardy and I hear that thing.
Right?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, can we play it now? Okay.
What
is his real name?
Tyler Perry?
That's your final answer.
Oh. Yeah, that's my final answer.
That is incorrect.
All right.
It is Emmett Perry Jr. Emmett is his first name. Yeah, not a lot of people know that, but that is his real name. he got a buzzer.
Right. Yeah.
All right. What month is his birthday? September, October, or November?
Dang, that was a trick because they're all back to back. September.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Hey, good job.
Yeah, both Virgos,
that's true. All right, so in all, how many movies does Tyler Perry have out?
You gotta be kidding me. For real?
Not including shows, just movies.
The multiple choice.
Not plays either. Okay. Yes, it's multiple choice. So 5.
Okay.
8. 9. Or 12?
Deductive reasoning. We're taking away 5. 8, 9, or 12. It's out of 9 or 12. I'll go with 12.
Hey, good job. Strong. You got 4 out of 1. 4 out of 5. You're good.
Emmett.
Yeah, a lot of people know that. It's cool. It's all right. We'll forgive you. No, you
wait till I sit him on the side and be like, Emmett, he said that.
90 out of 100. Come on. 90%. There you go. Eight student.
I'm still an 8.
All right. This is a part of the show. I would like to finish up with this fast questions, okay? So the first thing that comes to mind. All right? First thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Don't be thinking, all right? I get some people taking 20 minutes, okay?
My daddy used to say, loose lips sink ships. Let's go.
All right. Here we go. What's your favorite sound?
The ocean.
Ah, nice.
Oh, this is easy, man.
This
is the easy one.
Now it is. No. Yeah. What's your least favorite sound?
That new thing now that they do on Instagram where they like crumble stuff. They talk slow. ASR or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that is like that's weird. Yeah. Are they eating food or something and the smacking?
I got it. I know what you're talking about. Have that wake you up in the morning. All right, what profession other than your own would you do right now?
Lawyer. Yeah.
What profession would you not do?
Absolutely not. Ooh. Prostitution.
Right. This professional prostitute. I'm professional.
I don't knock it. I don't knock it. I got my thing.
Some people have their own business in Austin.
I got some friends, you know. I respect
down
that.
Louisiana. all right. What is your favorite horror movie?
Quick. Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Freddy Krueger is the most charismatic villain that has ever existed.
True.
He uses the B word in every sentence, kind of like Sam Jackson used MF. That's Freddy Krueger. He started that.
He
man.
Did. Yeah. He did
Hands
start
down.
That.
Yeah, that's easy.
That's true. That is true. All right, what's one flavor of Starburst would you absolutely not eat?
Pineapple.
Oh, okay. And the tropical package, right?
I don't like pineapples. It's the only fruit I don't like.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
I used to have an auntie every birthday. She would make me a pineapple cake.
Pineapple cake.
Like, this lady hates me. Why is she doing that?
Yeah. Oh, pineapple cakes are so good.
It's disgusting.
What's your favorite type of ice cream?
Mango. Flavor. No. Guava.
Guava?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so you don't like pineapples, you like guava. Okay.
I do.
Tropical, but not tropical. Got it. If you had a choice to act alongside any actor, alive or dead, who would it be?
Alive or dead. Louis Gossett Jr.
Okay. Nice.
I have to pick one, right?
Yeah, you got to pick one.
Dang.
All right.
Louis Gossett Jr.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's and last but not least.
This is always a hard one. Here we go.
May not be.
Yeah.
Heaven's real. You get up to God. What would you like to hear him say to you?
You got it.
Hey.
I'd like for him to say, you got it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's good. You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. And you do got it.
I hope so, man.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
And joining me inside the studio. We had an amazing time. Hope you had an amazing time as well.
I did, man. This was
awesome.
Great.
Yeah, I want to say thank you so much for everyone who is watching. If you love the interview and love the show, please show us some love. Give us thumbs up, likes, share the video. Also, if you want to see all of season one, you can log on to www.theonchannel.com. You can see and stream the entire first season. Thank you so much for joining us. Logic, tell them where you can find you.
You can find me on social media, Logic B. Collins, on Facebook, Instagram.
Is that a
on
guess? Or?
Twitter. Say it. I know, right? Logic D. Collins. I know, I'm so easy. You can find me on Twitter at Logic D. Yeah, keep it real simple.
Keep it real simple. Yeah. And also look out for him in the upcoming film.
Yeah.
Respect.
Please.
Yeah.
I like the way you said it. Respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Let's go. And you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Same place, same time, here inside the Black Actor Studio.
Yeah.
Be blessed.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.